Anyway, I'm delighted to tell you that my next guest has arrived into studio. She is not wearing overpowering perfume at all. She is very welcome, though. Author Felicity Hayes McCoy, you're very welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you, Deirdre. It's fantastic to be back in Real Studios again.
It is, after the long break. Tell me, first of all, we kind of claim you as one of our own because, of course, you live in West Kerry, but I know you divide your time between London and West Kerry. Where are you at the moment, or are you living out of a suitcase?
I'm living out of a suitcase partly because of this new book that's come out, The Keepsake Quilters, but my life is a bit suitcasey, but lovely. I live half in the very, very centre of London and half as far back west as you can get beyond Dingle before falling into the ocean. And we've got very used to coming and going, and we feel at home in both places.
Oh, that's a great way to have it. Now, you were telling me in the break, and I'm fascinated about this, is that you're getting a big reaction to this book from quilters, from people who love quilting. Now, the book, as you said, is called The Keepsake Quilters. I'm curious, because I'm not familiar with it. What are quilters?
Ah, you see, now, this is an interesting question, and one I would have been putting myself before I started writing this book. I came up with the idea of The Keepsake Quilters purely because I was looking for a shape into which I could tell a family saga. And the book is about mothers and daughters, and so there's three generations of women. And I wanted to find a way of telling the story of this whole family through something that they would have shared. And there is a really obvious way to go in, partly tied into my own love of fabric and fashion, which is I set up an idea that there was a grandmother and her daughter working together on a quilt, a keepsake quilt, which is a cot quilt they're making, which is reversible. So each of them is working on one side of it. And they're actually in different countries. Marguerite, the grandmother, is in Wicklow, and Val, her daughter, is in London. And it's because Val's daughter, Penny, has very unexpectedly become pregnant and can't cope and has kind of shut out her mom and her grandmother. And sort of to keep things going during the pregnancy, Val and Marguerite are making the quilt, and then eventually all will be well, they hope. You know, Penny will settle down, baby will be born, and they will have brought together the story of the whole family through patches of fabric, because it's a patchwork quilt. And what I discovered when I'm writing the book, and I'm, you know, I'm coming up with the idea that, you know, Marguerite uses a piece out of her wedding dress, say, or she's using little bits of fabric that were part of little frocks that she made when Val was a child, and Val is using the idea of Val made a coat for a toy for Penny when she was little, so she has bits left over. So it's the story of the family. What I didn't realise is there's this huge quilting community out there.
And I wouldn't have been aware of that either. I know that a lot of people like to knit or embroider or sew or whatever, but I didn't know quilting was so big.
It is a big, big thing. And I think it's partly because it's a shared, traditionally, it's a shared sort of pastime. Women in the past would have come together and they would have, you know, had little different bits of patchwork, or they would have been making quite complicated. I mean, my ladies are making a very simple quilt because I didn't want my readers to have to understand quilting. So my ladies are making a quilt out of square patches and bringing it together. But I've seen the most beautiful, complicated, patterned quilts. And I think in the past it was something that different generations and communities did, sitting down together, putting together these separate patches, piecing them into a big quilt, and then binding the edges of it. And, you know, I was told by a lady here in Kerry that lots of ladies in the past used flour bags.
For quilts?
Yeah, they would cut up flour bags, and that lots of places that provided flour started producing rather attractive patterned flour bags. So the women would persuade the men to buy that flour, and then they'd use the bags. So they went into town on a shopping trip, and they had in their heads, I'll have something out of that flour bag more than the flour. It'll be the makings of a quilt.
Yeah, of course, people were so creative back in the day, and resourceful and not wasteful like we are nowadays.
Yes, and that's one of the themes of the book too. There's a character in the book who's running an upcycling shop, and there's the book is very much about Penny, the girl who's pregnant, is a very successful television producer in London, driven by her career. But having this baby is making her think about the world and what the world needs, and maybe being interested in what her grandmother might have had to say about the past and the future.
And for you, Felicity, this is book number...
No, I think maybe 11, but it's a standalone book.
You're incredibly prolific. I mean, you seem to just churn them out. Are you always writing?
It's the day job. It really is as simple as that. You know, I've always been a professional writer. I used to work, which is why Penny is a television producer in this book. I used to work in television and radio. And, you know, that's how I make my living and that's how I pay the bills. So basically, I have commissions from the publisher. There's another Finn Farren novel coming next year. But this isn't part of the Finn Farren series, which is what I've been working on for the last 7 years. This is a standalone novel, quite Christmassy, and about this wholly other family. And they just walked into my head. I was going to start the next Finn Farren book. And then the Keepsake Quilters came to me and I rang my editor and said, look, would you mind if we put Finn Farren 8 off for another year? And I had a go at this one and she loved it and I did and it worked.
And you're getting lovely reviews for it as well. And I think the fact that it's just coming out at this time of the year, it'd be a lovely book for someone to read over Christmas. And,
yeah,
you know, the whole idea of mothers and daughters and grannies, I think we can all identify with that. The relationships, the ties that bind.
Right. Yeah. And I think as well, that it's a very... you know, you may have a perfectly good relationship with your mum. You may have got through all sorts of things, but I think everybody has things to revisit with their mother. And as they get older, quite often, I found that with my mum. You know, I was a fairly difficult teen, and they went off and had a career. It was, I'd say, 10 or 12 years after I left home that I used to go for walks with my mother, and I kind of related to her as an adult. And my sister always said she didn't really relate to my mum as an adult until she had children of her own.
Yeah, and that often happens, I think, with a lot of people. And where'd you get your inspiration from? I mean, you said that just came to you, that whole idea.
Well, the Keepsake Quilters happened, often it happens this way. It's a bit like patching, actually. It's a bit like piecework. It comes in different bits and you stitch them together. I was in Cork in the Crawford Gallery and I happened to see an exhibition of paintings by early 20th century Irish female portrait artists. And there were these women in, you know, these wonderful paintings of velvet and gauze and fantastic hats and feathers and things. And I was loving the paintings, but I was also thinking to myself, gosh, you know, that's what you do. You dress up like that when you're going to be painted or you're going to be photographed, you're on show. What do those women look like in their everyday lives when they went home and they took off the feathers? And so there was women and portraits. And there is a character in the book who is, in fact, she's dead. She's the grandmother's mom, and her portrait hangs over the mantelpiece in the family house, and she's all looking beautiful in velvet, and her hair is done, and she looks like a 1950s fashion model. And that's not the mom this woman remembers. She remembers a much more ordinary woman out in the garden in Tweed, you know, in Wellington's. We discover that lady in the portrait story as well through this book. So actually the book started with the portraits. But then the title came.
Yeah.
I don't know where from. And then one day I was sitting watching morning television, which is a thing writers quite often do. You start early, you take a break, you have a cup of tea. You
watch a bit of telly.
Yeah, and I, my background is television. And I was watching morning TV. And as God is my witness, the Carson women, these three women in the family, more or less walked in and joined me on the couch. I suddenly had a sense of Penny, a woman who was a television producer, and I knew those women. Very successful, very young. Eyes on the ratings all the time. Constantly looking.
Driven. Yeah,
yeah, driven, driven. What's on Twitter? Every time, you know, the mic is closed, she's checking her ratings. And then it sort of came to me, who was her mom? Who was her grandmother? What would happen if that woman had a baby? I knew a lot of women in television who couldn't make family life work with their careers. And Penny finds a way to triumph over the whole thing in this book.
Yeah.
And she finds real love. And she finds a sense of what she wants the future for her baby to be.
Yeah. It sounds like a great yarn altogether.
I think I'm going to
put this aside and for myself over Christmas, this copy of it, and read it over Christmas, because it sounds like a wonderful read. And Felicity, it's launching in Kerry this very weekend, is that
right? Yes, I'm doing a whole lot of book tours around the country, but we are launching in Dingle and it's going to be lovely. It's Fenton's Restaurant in Dingle on Saturday, this coming Saturday. It's between 2 and 4 in the afternoon, because I'm hoping mums and daughters and grannies will come along. The wonderful Dingle Distillery is providing the drink and is creating a Keepsake Quilters cocktail for the occasion.
Oh, very nice.
But there'll be tea and biscuits and scones as well. We'll be sitting around, I don't know about the scones, but certainly biscuits, and we'll be sitting around chatting. Barbara Scully, wonderful, wonderful author, journalist and teleperson, is coming down to do the launch for me. And I think it'll be great crack. And then it'll be off touring and things. But Fenton's 2 to 4 on Saturday. And everyone's welcome.
Great stuff. Well, look, the book is called The Keepsake Quilters by Felicity Hayes McCoy. It's out now. Great read for Christmas, or indeed if you want to read something now on these dark winter evenings, curl up by the fire with a good book. It's my idea of heaven anyway. Felicity, the very best of luck with it.
Thank you.
Thank you for popping in. And say hello to Barbara Scully from us. She's been on Talk About with us before. So
no, better woman. She's been everywhere. I will, of course. And incidentally, I've been signing in Kerry bookshops in advance of this lovely chat with you. So if people want signed copies, O'Mahony's, Easton's, you know, Killarney, Tralee, it's all out there, and I hope they'll enjoy it.
Great stuff. Felicity, thanks for popping in.